Herkules. Digitalizacija nasljeđa i identiteta srpske dijaspore.
Kako ste se vas dvoje upoznali?
Radili smo za...
Aha.
U Pragu, da.
Aha.
Naravno je bio research associate u tom institutu gdje sam ja počela da radim i onda sam tu radila jednu organizaciju.
Ok, i posle Praga ste došli u Beograd. Ili ne baš direktno?
Pa nije baš direktno, ali posle toga smo došli u Beograd. On je u stvari dobio i posao ovdje u Beogradu i onda sam smo došli zajedno, a pa smo posle otišli.
Živjeli smo tamo za 7 godina zajedno.
Da, i onda smo došli u
Beograd. And Tara was born there.
Tara je rođena u
Beogradu. Aha, ok.
Jo, ali bukvalno smo odmah, čim je Tarac se rodilo, posle toga smo, on je dobio posao ovdje, ona se rodila u decembru, a on je počeo da radi u Beogradu u februaru, mislim, posle, i onda, onda smo se mi priselili i onda je tu rođen i Zak i ja sam došla malo kasnije i onda su, tu je u Beogradu rođen Zak i onda
smo... I ovdje ste odživjeli 9 godina, no?
Da.
Okej. Kako si ti naučila engleski?
Ja sam sama naučila engleski.
Prije nego što si srela...
Da. Ja sam naučila, mislim, moj prvi jezik je bio ruski i nemački. I nemački se tad u to vreme učio u mojoj osnovnoj školi od 5. razreda, recimo, možda Kenzin, Klein, Ginga, Lein, Devante, Weltfinan. Mi smo učili ravnopravno ta dva jezika, ali ja sam naučila sama engleski jer je to tad bilo popularno.
Ovdje u Beogradu si ga znači učila pre nego što sam ušla u Pragu?
Ne, pre nego što sam došla u Beogradu.
Aha!
I pre nego što sam došla na fakultet i onda sam posle na fakultetu normalno učila na fakultetu
engleski. A češki ti je bio prvi jezik?
Češki mi je bio prvi jezik, da. I njega sam baš volila, ja sam u stvari volila slavistiku.
Da.
Generalno i onda sam, pošto sam znala ruski, pošto jesmo mi iz južnoslovenskog područja, onda sam htjela nešto i onda od svih tih zapadno-slovenskih narišem se u stvari stigla češki, bio je tako naravno romantični i sve, i kultura i sve to i onda sam to, mislim, i stvarno nisam, tad smo bilo nas petero na grupi. I to je bilo fazonu kao neko me pitao kao koji ti jezik neki crnogorsko, koji ti jezik studiraš? Ja kao češka, jes ti jezik? To je bilo, ja su svi kao jezik, ja ko studiraš, da, neki zapadni jezici. Tako da, to je bilo vrlo onako neobično da se studira u to vrijeme.
Da, u to vrijeme zaista nisu bili jezici na koje se
krenulo. Da.
Zek, samo ću te moliti za malo strpljenja, pošto ću prvo mamu i tatu da ispitam nešto, pa onda tebe da uključim, okej? Ti, kako si ti počeo da se baviš jezicima, zahvaljujući svojim poslovnim potrebama, pa si imao potrebu da naučiš češki, pa posle srpski iz emotivnih razloga i profesionalnih?
German I studied in university. Czech I studied briefly in Prague at a Czech language school, but mainly it was organic. Serbian I learned because I wanted to understand what Biljana was saying to me when she was angry. Living in, so there in Prague, we lived very much within the Yugoslav diaspora, and so a lot of the socialization there was in Serbo Croatian, and the unwritten rule was you don't say which, you just say naš jezik. You don't. It's not. We don't talk about which one.
Yeah.
it's not important.
That was my next question when you mentioned Serbo-Croatian, because we've learned in the States, for instance, Serbian diaspora exclusively uses the term Serbian, but in Vienna, it's always Nashiez or Serbo-Croatian. They practically never use the term. Some of the older generation diaspora, but new diaspora only uses Nash or Serbo-Croatian. So the European context seems to be very different from the American one.
So, and then, so that social environment, and then as our relationship developed and matured, then I got to know her family. Her parents didn't speak, so I had, if I wanted to communicate with them, I had to speak in Serbian. And then living here, so it was a different space then in that sense. So I began to have some work overlap with then still Yugoslavia while we were living in Prague, but eventually, especially when we moved here, then it became important for me to function in a working environment, to have meetings. There are a lot of meetings with officials and so on where a translator wasn't available and they weren't proficient in English, and just for work purposes it was just better. It just made sense. And if I was to be a good social scientist, as you're being right now, it's important for me to, if I'm going to understand who I'm talking to, I need to meet them where they are. So the language is a part of that.
How do you feel when you use Serbian? Do you have any emotional connection to the language?
Oh, for sure. Well, I mean, yeah, absolutely. It's.
I'm glad that's Serbian, old man.
Easy. So you can include me also as diaspora.
Yeah? Oh, okay. That's what my husband calls diaspora by affiliation.
Yeah, so there's another term, is Srpski Zet, right?
Srpski Zet,
So it's and that Srpski Zet is something that is used here for sure, as I'm identified as that. And so there's a two-way street, right? So it's which is mutually reinforcing, is that I'm acknowledged and praised for making an effort, and that psychologically creates a positive reinforcement that shapes identity, and that's a very real thing. In returning to the United States, so I've one way or another lived overseas for a little over 20 years. So my accent in English, my grammar, my vocabulary is different. And so it's not unusual for me to get the question, where are you from and how did you learn to speak such good English? when I'm in the United States. And my standard answer is, well, I learned it in school. And if they want to know more, then they can ask. But it's so in a way, I've drifted. I'm somewhere in between, also.
That is so cool.
Identity-wise, as well as anything else. So, but in terms of language, yeah, sure. I mean, there are things that and the emotional connection to it. There are things that are best or easiest said in Serbian, in the most emotional moments. I told you, right? So this is when my initial impetus was to understand when she was pissed off, and which she almost always switched to Serbian. And it would go on. Because usually what I did was really worth complaining about, and so she took a while to elaborate on that. So my entry to the language was emotional, right? And then with the kids and with her parents, and so those are all emotional conversations. Work was there as well, but and because I had no formal training in Serbian at all, so I've my exposure to the language, my experience and connection with the language is primarily familial, and so there's all the emotions that are wrapped up within it.
Do you still have a chance or need to use it in professional context?
Yeah, for sure. Both in written and spoken.
A kako je sa tobom, Biljana? Kako se ti osjećaš kad govoriš engleski?
Pa mislim, to se menja. Ja sam stvarno želela da naučim engleski jako puno i naučila sam ga ja dovoljno dobro, recimo sama sam ga naučila da bi posle na fakultetu dobila desetku na dvosemestra mi je to.
Bili su dva dvosemestra ispita u naše vreme.
To nije bilo baš tako jednostavno, ako nisi baš. Tako da sam to dobro dosta savladala, ali ja i dalje, mene, naravno da imam akcenat i tamo, čak sam jedno vremena razmišljala da taj akcenat produbim, da bude ono ko Sofia Vergara. What do you say? You know, da bi baš me nervira kad me neko kaže, ja kažem hello, on kaže where are you from? Pa da mislim, kako si provalio odjedanput na osnovu toga? Mislim, to me baš nervira i onda kad im kažem odakle sam, onda sam očekuje sad neku dalju priču, mislim, obično o tome, pa kako si došao, to mislim što je u stvari nešto što me smara, stvarno.
Da,
mislim, uopšte da pričam. Tako da, eto, mislim, ranije sam imala taj osjećaj da ne mogu da se izrazim dovoljno dobro u engleskom kao u srpskom, ali sad više nemam taj osjećaj. I ja mislim čak da mogu čak i bolje da se izrazim u engleskom, jer vremenom to je u svojih sferi stvar navike, jer ja pišem jako puno na engleskom i onda odjednom kad treba da pišem, sad pišem na srpskom i mislim, meni je jako teško da pišem na srpskom. Tako da, ali mislim, u suštini ja sam to prihvatila kao neki challenge, i dobro je što mi se to desilo sad, jer bi stvarno zastranila totalno.
Drugim rečima, ima veze i sa domenima komunikacije, znači profesionalni engleski je bliže i naravno u kući. A kako vas dvoje govorite?
Pa kako kad?
Mešam,
mislim, nije isključio engleski. Nije isključio engleski zato što, u stvari, ne znam da li je ikad bilo isključio engleski, možda na početku. Ali vremenom on je, mislim, i pogotovo mi smo živjeli u ovoj sredini, znači on je dovoljno zna engleski, srpski, da mi možemo da komuniciramo i na srpskom jeziku.
Da, ali vi koristite nekad kao tajni jezik, kao secret language in the States?
Pa jeste, naravno.
Da,
Okej.
Dobro,
učest. Except we have to, there are Serbo-Croatian speakers everywhere.
So yes.
And there are Slavic speakers everywhere. So it's not as secret as you might think, but
Media, znači šta slušate, šta gledate, kako dobijete informacije, da li je samo na engleskom ili na engleskom i srpskom ili engleski, srpski, češki?
Sve. Pa sam all up the bar. Ja čitam, Bože, na srpsku. Ja sam duže vreme bila u Češkoj, drugo ja sam, mislim, bukvalno sam najkritičnije godine svog života provela u Češkoj, znači bukvalno sam odrasla sa njihovom generacijom, znači ja ne znam gde su ljudi izlazili ovde, ali znam gde su izlazili tamo, znači apsolutno prosto je to nekako deo mene i ja i dalje čitam svakodnevno češke vesti i češke i naravno sad me to mnogo manje dotiče.
I romane i sve,
znam, mislim, preplaćena sam tamo na neke njihove Radila sam, to sam ti rekla, radila sam se za ovim Milošanovim Utvićem, smo radili isto nešto, neke češke romane smo analizirali i tako neko, mislim, prija mi to i dobro se osjećam u tome. Baš se osjećam, onako isto to kao kad prepoznam nekoga, kad priča češki, pa se javim pa on dobro, to je kao da sam videla nekog svog, isto ovako kao i srpski.
A kad pišete mailove jedno drugom i texting?
Engleski,
da.
Da, tekstima je engleski. Pa nekad malo srpski. Malo,
da, ali uglavnom.
Dobro. Da li mislite da bi bilo korisno imati više pristupa digitalnim sadržajima na srpskom jeziku u Americi, bilo da je literatura, bilo da su mediji, bilo da...
Pa imamo,
da?
Pa mi već imamo. Ja sam sad, ne znam na što konkretno misliš, jer
mislim za romane, recimo, mislim na...
To da, da, definitivno, definitivno toga malo fali, jer ja imam igrom slučaja sad... Ovdje je bum ovih privatnih malih, ovih, to sam pričala već, izdavača. Međutim, oni nemaju toliko mnogo, da, jeste. I ona meni, ova moja drugarica kaže da prosto nemaju mogućnosti za to i ne ulažu u to, a trebalo mi.
To je bez veze,
to je za razliku od Češke, recimo, koja Češka toliko brani svoj jezik i toliko oni ulažu sve to, u srpskom jeziku to uopšte nije.
Da, da. A druge vrste vesti, sadržaja, sportova...
Ne gledam na sport.
Ne gledam sport, ali u suštini mislim mi, ja čitam ove... vesti srpske, što svaki dan.
Sa koga ste navijeli kad si gledali Srbije i Ameriju u košarci?
Nismo uopšte, bili
su... Niste gledali?
Ne, ni gledali smo, delimično. Bili su ovi naši prijatelji tamo kod nas. I prvo što su hteli da potrkaju, što mi imamo streaming ove servise, ali nismo imali nijednu tu streaming za ove srpske kanale. I onda smo našli tamo neke, ima neki Balkanium ili Balkanika, tamo se zove, koji je u stvari streaming servis za ceo Balkan. I možeš kao tu i bugarske i to, mislim, nisu samo isključivo srpski kanali. I konačno su to. I sad mi, ja i Aron smo došli i kao, ajde da vas vodimo negde smo tada idemo. A ova moja drugarica kaže, pa čekaj, njih dvojice gledaju kao još uvijek ovu utakmicu, pokažem, dobro, nema veze, sad čekaj ćemo u vas, i tek idu njih dvojica. Pa možemo da idemo. Kažem, šta je bilo, gubite, sad može, ne, morate da ostanete nagledate cilu. Mislim, u suštini, sjajno, to je Washington Post je recimo danas imao sjajan, ne znam da se čitala, sjajan članak o tome da je prosto neverovatno koliko je jedna mala zemlja i koliko je dobar tim i Đoković i košarkaški tim toliko dobar, mislim da stvarno, stvarno je to jedna veliki uspeh, tako da to svakako to stoji, ali mislim, znaš, mislim to da ipak je naša mi nismo, ja sam sportski tip, ali ja volim da budem deo tog sporta, ne da gledam nekog drugog.
I znači ne navijete nikad ono?
Nikad nismo u tom fazonu, ne, nismo u tom fazonu. Ali dosta se bavimo sportu.
How about you? When Serbia plays against the U.S.?
Well, in terms of sports, if I hear, I won't actively follow it, but if I hear someone talk about Serbia winning something, I'll feel a little bit of something here.
Oh, okay. That's
nice.
But if it were a America versus Serbia, I would feel a bit conflicted, but ultimately side with Serbia, I think, in terms of sports.
Oh my gosh!
Why? Because, well, I think it's
more interesting.
It's more interesting, yeah. And I think my family mm-hmm. here would be more excited if that was
the
case.
Oh, that's
while
nice.
While here, I don't think anybody's going to watch and really care all that much of America.
In America? Exactly.
I like this.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's boring in America Woods.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, well, they're too strong
exactly.
for everybody else.
Exactly.
I mean, even that basketball game, it was really obvious that our guys did not have enough physical strength to pull it off till the end.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The Americans are so strong.
Yeah.
But if
by themselves the Americans are sort of in a, I will also feel.
Of course, of, yeah, okay, yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's
no, this is only a question when Serbia and America play.
Ah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. In other occasions, of course, you will cheer either for Serbia or for America, whatever. Yeah. Okay. So, Zach, how did you feel being raised here in Belgrade? What was the language of communication with your family when you lived in Belgrade? Tara, would you like to join us in the interview? Is it okay if she signs the consent form afterwards?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Uh-huh. Consent form.
Uh-huh. So just, Tara, if you can give me your date of birth. Not date, just the year.
2001.
2001, okay. Okay, so you guys came very young. You were about like 6 months old or something. And then Zach was born here. And so how did it feel being raised here in Belgrade in a bilingual family?
Možno
srpskom, slobodno.
Define how you feel.
Kako ste se osjećali, kako ste komunicirali u vrtiću, u školi, sa decom, sa mamom i tatom, sa porodicom, sa tatinom porodicom u Americi. Znači, čitav taj vaš kontekst odrastanja u Srbiji, kako je to jezički izgledalo?
Yeah, so growing up I thought it was sort of, I didn't think of anything of it, it was just how it was.
Mm-hmm.
So at school I would speak Serbian with everyone, mm-hmm. though. Not that well, as my mom would point out, I had bad grammar.
Ne, ali mislim, ja ne znam, stvarno, recimo, ja sam od uvek smatrala da Zaki ima, da se malo osjeća kod Zakija da nije, da nekako, nije to bio moj srpski kao onaj moj srpski.
A šta su prvo progovorili, srpski ili engleski?
Prve reči.
Srpski sa mamom, a engleski sa mamom.
Mm-hmm. Ali recimo Tara je ove, Tara iako nije rođena ovde, mm-hmm. Tara je imala nekako više taj srpski osjećaj
mm-hmm.
za rečenicu i to, a Zaki malo manje. A inače Zaki je bio super u školi, mislim njega učiteljica baš volela i baš je bio, on je sve petice, mislim baš je bio dobar.
Mm-hmm.
I on napiše i lepo sastavi sve. Ali recimo ponekad neki sklop rečenice mu je bio i meni se činilo kao da ga prevodi u glavi sa engleskog na srpski. To se tako mi je nekako imala sam utisak.
Mm-hmm.
I inače on, mislim, da on je rođen u toj generacija kad je počinjalo mnogo više da se piše kompjuterski, da se
da.
Piše i ja sam smatrala da se nešto nije s njegovim rukopisom u redu, mislim, ja gledam, on piše, grozan moj rukopis, nešto između pisanog i štampanog, nešto onako...
Ali moj je bio isto.
Tvoj je bio isto, u to je nastavno, to vidiš, nisam.
Da. A jeste, vi ste već imali mobilne telefone kad ste bili
da,
u Srbiji, da? Jeste koristili latinicu ili ćirilicu? Na mobilnim
telefonima.
Imali ste. Imali ste
logo. Latinica. A dobro, to što je bio mali. Da, ti
da.
Si još bio mali. Ali,
to su samo drugarice.
Da, kao i sva deca.
Da.
Uh-huh. Danas, da li koristite ikada ćirilicu ili da li čitate ćirilicu?
Ne.
Ne.
Kad sam
samo pričam. Ali,
ali razumeš?
Razumiješ?
Aha.
Samo...
Da, da.
It takes me a bit.
Yeah.
Especially with Cyrillic, I need to remember what the letters mean. And then I have to sort of... if I encounter a word that I don't recognize, it's easier for me to recognize it if somebody speaks it than I can.
Yeah, right.
And so... I think it's very difficult for me to read through. But if it's in the Latin letters, then I can probably...
And you, Dara? Do you still read Cyrillic alphabet or not so much?
I try to practice. I have one Harry Potter book that's in Cyrillic.
Harry Potter?
Harry Potter.
Really?
Yes. But it switches from Cyrillic to Latin. And that drives me crazy, so I stopped practicing
that. Ali ona je bolje znala, mislim, ona je bila malo starija, i kad smo već otišli tamo u Ameriku, ona je već bila peti razred, i onda je već ona imala mnogo bolju osnovu od Zakija, i Vadinice i Čirjevice.
A kad su se rodili, jeste vi imali neki dogovor ili neki...
Imali smo, znaš zašto? Zato što sam ja radila... Radila sam sa ovog pokojnog Bore Todorovića, žena. I upravo sam ja radila s njom i oni isto imaju dve ćerke. I ona mi je tada tako rekla da ona je Amerikanka, i da kao tako da postupamo, da deca imaju mamin jezik i tatin jezik. I tako smo prilike svi trudili najviše tako da govorimo. Mada ovdje je bilo u stvari pretežno srpski, jer mi smo imali i jednu ženu koja je čuvala decu, deseterku, i ona je divna žena koja je profesor matematike, mislim, stvarno je onako baš je bila jedna divna osoba i trudila se baš da im vodila ih na izložbe. Mislim, stvarno sve ono što ja nisam mogla da stignem, ona je pomuto. I ona je s njima isto pričala srpski, škola i sve to, znači pod većim uticajem su srpskog jezika ovdje bili, definitivno. Ali opet to Zakio sto otpora na sve to.
Our house rule, right, of a mother's tongue and a father's tongue, it was in some ways at times the kids were even more strict about it than so there would be times, for example, just it sticks in the head because it's so illustrative, where Tara would, this is when she was very young, but she would ask for something in Serbian. And as a young father wanting to satisfy the needs of his daughter, I would start to act on that request. And Tara would turn to me, switch to English, say, no, Daddy, I'm talking to Mama. And then she'd switch back to Serbian again and continue, right? She didn't want me to do that. She wanted Mama to do that, right? And so Tara was playing by the rules, right?
Yeah.
Rules that I was breaking, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So she was more rigid, but also it's Zach didn't do this as much. Tara originally and this makes sense really. So Tara actually for a while, it was maybe 9-12 months or so, where she basically created her own language. So which makes sense because you have two people in a house, each who use different words for the same thing. So that must be that we each make up our own word for this thing, of course, right? It makes perfect sense. Yeah?
Absolutely.
And so she consistently used Serbian grammar, but with her own verbs, nouns, and as young parents, we were desperate also to understand our daughter. And so we learned a little of her language, which of course reinforced it. And so it persisted, and then we thought, we should better pull back on this a little bit.
You should have taped it. It would have been so much fun to look back at it and listen to the instruction.
Zachary was so fun. When we went to the States, we would go during the summer.
That's a good question, What happened when you would travel to the States?
You'll tell you all know what's there.
So, when we would go out, of course we would encounter, like, I would encounter kids that spoke languages other than English or Serbian. Mm-hmm. And so my thought was basically, if a kid walked up to me and started speaking Spanish, and my thought process was, oh, he's not speaking English. And so I responded in Serbian.
What was Spanish?
I can think of two times that have happened. Once in an airport, yeah. And the other time at like some pool in America.
Yes. That's a zucchini. What's that?
Super. Super. A sa bakama i dekama u Americi, to je bilo potpuno normalno da se priča na engleskom, da? Kad ste bili mali. Aha. Ok. A kada ste se preselili u Ameriku, jeste imali osjećaj da možda imate neki problem pripadnosti zbog promene jezika, školovanja?
Zaki možda ti
da kažeš. Did you maybe have any issues when you started going to an American school versus a Serbian school and just switching the environment, cultural, linguistic and everything else? Let him answer. Oh. Izbacit ćemo te napolje. Biljana je moja drugarica, mogu da kažeš ti.
Ajde ti, Zaki.
I think initially I had some trouble with going from writing and Serbian to English. Mm-hmm. I couldn't write my last name, I think, was one thing.
So spelling was an issue.
Mm-hmm. And then also with sort of contact with other students, you know, I'd go in for like a hug and they were like, no, back off, dude. Because they were like, you know, that was just a different culture.
Mm-hmm,
and yeah. So that was a big struggle. And with soccer as well, I was more physical than the other kids. So
uh-huh.
I was better, obviously, but they were really not happy with that.
Ne zaboravim devojčicu sa hijabom koju si rekao šta ti to, na glavi to ti glupo.
No, nisam, okay. Right, yeah, well,
okay.
That didn't happen, but also...
Yeah, there weren't that many women with hijab here
to
at the time.
Da njeni roditelji zvali, došli u školu i rekli da je tražili da direktor da ga izbaci.
Auč.
Kao to je na religijskom osnovi, kaže šta lupa te brah, to je dete koje nikad nije vidjelo od
hijab. Da, da.
Ali to su muslimani, mislim, tako, reagili.
And I think other than that, I had some trouble with sort of technical words. Words that mean like two
academic
things,
uh-huh.
Maybe. Or, yeah, also academic words. Mm-hmm. So like, one anecdote they tell me about is when I was a kid. And it was like, I was doing math and they were teaching me how to round numbers. And I got really angry at my assignment because I couldn't figure out how to make the numbers circular.
Nije, ja ne znam šta znači to.
Round numbers. I u srpsku se kaže to okružiti, bro.
Ali mi nismo imali to, mi smo ga radili ovdje, kod nas se to ne radi tako često, ne okružiti. Oni su imali čitav assignment da bude za okruživanje, što je glupo assignment. I on to nije, baš je bio ljut, što ne može, ne znam što kako
da
je napravio krug.
But they had, which is, you know, then it comes into identity stuff too, because as we were saying earlier, Zach was, both of the kids were performing really at high levels in school, and then they would switch and go,
uh-huh.
And they hit these barriers where, you know, math is something that Zach was very high performer in, and then he comes to the United States and he can't even understand the instructions and has to turn in a blank assignment,
uh-huh.
Right? And so from an identity perspective, that's
uh-huh.
really hard. So it's
yeah.
it's a language issue, but it's not uh-huh. it's more than that. And the challenge there was basically that his exposure, both of the kids' exposure to English
mm-hmm.
prior to moving to the United States was not in a teaching environment.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the home, it was the family.
Mm-hmm.
But once they encountered the learning environment, they have its new vocabulary, its new contexts,
mm-hmm.
its new social environment with its own sets of complex rules, and it's shocking.
Right? Oh yeah, but this was more difficult for to say, right?
Because
Tara was like this.
Can we listen to that?
I thought that it was
okay. You thought okay. My main issue when I got to the States was word problems in math. Math was totally fine because it was all numbers. It was, even if it was add this fraction, I wouldn't even understand the sentence, but I could see that it's two fractions and there's a plus sign,
right.
And I understand that and I do that. It was great. Word problems where it says like Jerry has 18 watermelons and then he like takes away, and I don't know what takes away means, or they use some really weird words for some of those. So I can't even set up this problem because I don't know some of these words. So I would ask the teacher, what does this word mean? What's this word mean? And sometimes they were helpful, but sometimes it was, they didn't have time or whatnot.
Did they, when they would ask you then, and when they ask you now, where you're from? Because it's easy for you guys because you have an American last name. So for other children of Serbian origin, it's more obvious because their last names are a clear indicator of their different origins. But do you remember how you defined yourself when you went to the States and how you define yourselves now? Like when people ask you where you're from, where's...
Well, it's easier when I get to college, which is in another state. I could just say, I'm from D.C.
Okay.
When I was presenting for... I work New Student Orientation and the university now. They told me, so that I would catch Serbian students in the room, American students in the room, they would say, Tara, could you please say you're from D.C., but originally from Serbia? So that they could catch, if someone is Serbian in the room, they could identify.
So your teachers would ask you to identify,
But I normally don't say that, I just say I'm from D.C., but I speak Serbian, and then they ask me my life story. How did that happen? Usually the response is, oh my god, your English is amazing. And my response is, yeah, my dad's Texan. I speak Texas English.
Is it Texas English? I was going to say, when you said that people sometimes ask you where you're originally from, you don't sound Texan to me.
But
did you at any point?
I had one friend who's from Houston, Texas. He said, Tara, I immediately recognize Dallas.
Wow.
So, Dallas is a relatively young city. It really only bloomed in the 1960s. And most of the people came there was banking, technology, commerce, mainly to serve the oil money that was being produced in Houston. And so most of the people who moved in, including the university community, was from the Northeast and the Midwest, including my parents. In my high school, most kids were born in Texas, but very few had parents born in Texas.
Right.
And so we all spoke a kind of neutral
dialect.
American urban
dialect,
which and educated, I guess, because it's a generally educated community where we're from, a lot of universities and so on. But drive 40 minutes outside of town and very quickly you get a twang, drive into the panhandle, and I know that they're speaking English, but I'm not really sure what they're saying anymore. So it gets strong really fast. So yes, it's part of the problem of what is a Texas accent is that your sense of what a Texan should sound like is biased by media and
movies,
you know, and what, and so
TV shows.
Texas itself is a huge place.
Yeah.
So you can drive for 12 hours in a straight line on the highway,
and you're still
in Texas. Right? So imagine how many dialects you have across 12 hours of driving in Europe.
But it's not only that, but it's just like you, I don't really consider you real Texan in that sense, because your parents, his parents are actually from also Washington, D.C.,
yeah.
D.C. metro area. All of his relatives and everything, their grandparents, everybody are from that area.
Yeah, but I suffer from that diaspora identity
issue. Exactly. You know, exactly.
Because I'm conflicted, I have even stronger emotional ties to Texas.
Yes. Maybe you have
because emotionally, I'm about it,
but actually, none of them, they don't have accent. They cannot have accent because they were there at university, speaking with university people.
That's very typical of many areas in the States. I remember being at Purdue, which is in Indiana, and Indiana rural areas have very strong
major
accents.
Yeah.
And it was so funny, like you say, we lived in West Lafayette, which is on one side of the river,
yeah.
And the Lafayette, the industrial area was on the other side, and you would go to a car shop and they
speak
say
different.
Something and you had no clue what they were saying,
right.
And
yeah.
Then the other side was pretty standard English.
Izvinite, mogu da isključim ovo snimu?
Možeš slobodno. How about you, Aaron, when you went to the States, when people would, I'm sorry, Zach, when people would ask you where you're from, or did you then, or do you now sometimes define yourself as, how do you define yourself? Who are you?
And has it changed over time?
And yeah. Has it changed over time?
It has changed over time, for
uh-huh.
sure. Initially, probably like mm-hmm. middle elementary school,
mm-hmm.
I would have definitely said Serbian, because that's
mm-hmm.
fun to say, oh yeah, I'm from Serbia, and mm-hmm. then people crowd around you and like, what does this word mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, I mean, did I have an accent initially when I spoke English?
No,
okay.
Not.
So I probably just brought it up offhandedly.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped really presenting anything that would make anyone think that I'm Serbian, and so it never got brought
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
And if they asked where
mm-hmm.
I'm from, I would probably answer Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise,
mm-hmm.
that's not going to happen, because
okay.
I outwardly present very clearly as an American.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Zlatan Borac.
I was going to ask about that now. In terms of the virtual space, do you ever use Serbian?
No.
No?
No.
Where does the Zlatan Borac come from?
Oh, it's just a random name that my dad came up with on the spot for like a Minecraft account.
So it was your invention then, Aaron?
I accepted
it. It was collaborative. I think it was collaborative, but no.
So how about you, Tara? Do you ever use Serbian online?
Besides emailing this one kid I met who's Serbian,
mm-hmm.
my orientation?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
But with friends of yours back in... Not so much anymore.
I don't really talk to them.
Not anymore.
One thing I realized when I went to the States is I could actually be myself. I feel
uh-huh.
like in Belgrade, you're sort of put into, you're going to be and act like this because you're a Belgrade person. So I did. And when I got to the States, it was sort of, you could be yourself, join this club that you like, or et cetera, et cetera. Those weren't a thing in Serbia. And suddenly I really enjoyed going outdoors and doing this engineering stuff so I could actually be myself. So in reality, I kind of drifted away from the Serbian girls.
Okay.
We don't have a lot in common anymore. I was pretending to be them this entire time, and then when I moved to the States, I could actually be my own person.
So in Serbia, you felt this need to sort of blend in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. I mean, I noticed also that it's just like, in a way, in the States, all of her
mm-hmm.
Girlfriends
mm-hmm.
stay longer in a way, kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like enjoying outdoors and being in. And here, Yeah. They started very early going out and putting the makeup and on and all of that. And so she never was.
Do you have relatives of your approximately age here in Serbia? No?
Not really.
Yeah. Because I've noticed from talking to kids your age and a bit older that if they had somebody to take them out and have them, you know, join the parties when they were 16 or 17, that actually improved their interest in continuing and maintaining the language.
That's right.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I am the youngest in my family. And I don't have
any. And that cousin of yours who lives in Sarajevo now is much older than you are.
So, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Like, and he's 10 years older than me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And my sister is 10 years older than me. Okay. You know, so it's just I am some kind. It's very strange because I am actually grandmother for their kids, right?
Yeah.
For their kids.
I've been a grandmother since.
She's ridiculous.
I've been a grandmother since I was like 12. So, because my mom has a huge family. There were seven sisters, and she's the second youngest. So, I mean, there was this huge. So, I'm so used to being a grandmother, I don't even count anymore. And how about your feelings about the Serbian language? Do you, if you or when you have children, do you think it will be useful for them to learn Serbian?
Yes. I think to speak with my mom, probably.
All the time.
They might just, I might not even teach them, they might just learn from her.
Baba's language. You know, in Chicago they have a term for it. It's Baba's language. Babas are teaching the kids Serbian.
Mama, možeš da vratiš
bebu. Možeš da vratiš bebu.
Ja
te razumem u potpunosti.
Nije tvoja.
How about you?
I think it would be two languages top, so I don't know what my future partner speaks. If their language is more useful, reality speaking, for the child, it would be English and whatever that language is. Because I don't know what Serbian is.
Okay.
S obzirom da je ona u ovim inženjerskim vodama, znaš na što to ide.
Yeah.
banana or something? Are you good with food?
Okay. There's a question that escaped me now. I was going to ask it. Yeah, but you just said that Serbian does not really seem very useful. Are there any areas of your lives or your future children's lives where you might feel that Serbian might be useful? I know.
Or important in any way.
Yeah.
Maybe where you want to focus on the useful part, I don't know.
Ja znam za Zakija.
Useful in different ways, not only economically or professionally, but emotionally, academically, intellectually, whatever.
Tell her how you use it a lot.
Yeah, so it's good to just have... I've taken like a... I'm pretty sure this is what you're talking about.
Yes.
I've taken a sort of a short story writing class. And in that, just to have some extra vocabulary to pull from, I replaced names and I've named places after Serbian words. And I've borrowed those. And I think as an extra sort of addition to the dictionary where you'd have some... where you... would have some generic name for like a river, you can take something and put it there and wow, that's actually interesting now.
Cool.
So
River Reka.
Doctor
Svemir.
Doctor Svemir, I like it.
Super.
But, it's like okay, it's also like it's also I think like a sort of an in joke.
In joke.
Yeah. Where, like, mm-hmm. if somebody understands Serbian, they'll see, like, oh, this guy's name is basically John Space.
Yeah.
So happens to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
Ima jedna ovaj neka kafanica ili kako se zove room, ovaj tea room na Dupont Circle koji je bukvalno Washington centar, možda ne. I zove se Zeleno.
Zeleno, stvarno?
Da, Zeleno. Tako se zove. Nisam svi koji znaju šta je Zeleno. Nama je jasno šta je Zeleno. Ali tako se zove, zar nije lepo?
Zeleno. Niste nikad pitali zašto se tako zove?
Pa verovatno, jer ima neke veze sa vlasnicom. Vlasnica
se verovatno.
Ah, it's Bulgarian. Okay.
The owner is Bulgarian.
Yeah.
The owner did the same thing.
Right.
But so,
yeah, playing with languages, toying with it.
To learn a whole language just for that is good. However, like Tara said, it would be better if they learned it from, like, my future wife, if she ended up speaking, like, some other language. But, yeah. I mean, you know, I could also, like, three languages is pretty cool.
Yeah, so. It is.
Yeah, but yeah. How do you teach a kid that?
Yeah, exactly.
Would you, yeah, you would have to speak it. Would you actually do something like your parents did? This is a very hypothetical question, of course, because they had a mama's language and a papa's language. And in your case, if you married somebody of a different linguistic origin, would you do the same? Play with languages and choose one parent and one for the other parent.
I'm gonna just put this down. I don't even know if I want a kid.
Sorry. So, yeah. These are hypothetical questions, and no answers are obligatory.
I think one language for me would have to be English.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, that's your.
And so.
Yeah.
You know,
if not first, the language of your environment now.
Yeah. And my Serbian isn't all that good, mm-hmm. so I would hope that.
Ali Zeki, mi smo sad angažovali Bojanu. Bojana je naša drugarica koja je vrlo angažovana u srpskoj crkvi u Vašingtonu. Mm-hmm. Mi nismo, pošto čisto dolazimo ovde i mislim, mi nismo uopšte u tom fazonu, ali ona je, ona drži zajedno sa nekim drugim tamo ljudima, oni drže neka kao školu mm-hmm. srpskog jezika i sad je pozvala i Zakija i Zakija u stvari pokazao interesovanje mm-hmm. pa će ona kao sad njega da malo da uključi, šaljem tako nešto da da rade i to. Tara nema potrebe za tim i ona mnogo bolje priča srpski od Zakije. Mm-hmm. Ali Zakije sad
She sent me some papers and I'll get to them.
Okay. A ti Tara, pošto ti pričaš sve vreme samo na engleskom, neću da te teram da pričaš srpskom, ali sa mamom pričaš na srpskom, jel?
Mama priča odlično srpski.
A nemoj ti da odgovaraš, čekaj malo.
She didn't even take a breath. Nije mi uvek na engleskom. Imam pauze kad ne znam kako je gramatično ili ne znam reč, imam to najglasno.
A kad si ovde u gradu, jer se osjećaš dobro kad moraš da pričaš na srpskom u radi i da tražiš nešto? Ne, da prijeti?
Stalno mislim, sad ću nešto da kažem, da ne znam kako se kaže na srpskom, pa ću morati na engleskom i onda će da mi pričaju celi put na engleskom. A ovo je Amerikanac, sad će da...
Ne, ali to je normalno, ali mislim, ona je ipak otišla i dosta je ovo, mislim, čuješ je kako priča, ona ipak malo ima nešto, ali kad je otišla, ona je znala super vrede.
A sad devojčica ili dečaka, kid, što kažeš to, na orientationu, jel oni... Kako s njima pričaš? Na srpskom, na engleskom?
Na srpskom.
Na srpskom? I se tamo osjećaš dobro kad pričaš srpskom?
Pa ne pričam s njim, ali na e-mailu sad pričam. Pa imam vremena da napišem, da mislim kako se pričaš. Ne znam.
Ali sam... malo si ti izgubila, ti se ne čini ti se to, malo si ti izgubila od stopu.
Ne mislim da sam izgubila ništa, jer nikad nisam ni imala to.
Pitanje je osjećaj, pitanje je kako se on osjeća.
Otišla sam sa 10 godina, ne znam ja reči koje pričaju 22 godina.
Pa dobro, godine. Ne znam, pa dobro.
Ne, stvarno.
Pa dobro. Aha.
Ne znam ja reč za benzil peroksid što sam tražila za krenu sad.
Da, da.
Pa isto se kaže.
Da, mislim da se zove.
Pa isto se kaže, da, da.
I told them that benzil peroxide, oh, benzil peroksid.
Pa vidiš, pa se zove. Da, da, dobro, samo si malo nesigurna, zato što i to je sasvim normalno.
Ne znam reči koju pričaju. Da, da, da.
Ali ti se 22 godine.
Nisi,
pa, zavisi, da. Znaš, nego bi ti trebalo pola da uđeš yes. u fazu za žargon, samo yes. za ovaj slang, ništa drugo.
Da, okay, ali to je drastična razlika od Zakija. Zaki stvarno ne može da sastavi, on je već izgubio da sastavi rečenicu. Mislim što je već ipak on drugačiji.
Moram no, i tebe...
The thing is, if you speak to me in Serbian, I'll respond in English because I understand everything.
Da, right.
I just don't know the confidence to...
Pa dobro, tako i meni za hrvatski, mislim, ja hrvatski razumem, ali ne mogu brzo im odgovoriti.
Da, a ti se baviš sportom ili gledaš sport?
Da.
Kad su igrali sad Amerika i Srbija, za koga si navijala?
Za basketball?
Aha.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention.
Jo.
I watch soccer.
Okay.
Football.
So?
And in the World Cups, I follow Croatia.
Ah! Bravo! Bravo!
I have a good reason in terms of I actually watch soccer and I wow. like watching soccer.
Yo,
and I find, can you let me finish a sentence? I find that the Serbian soccer team is way too aggressive. Whereas the Croatian soccer team is more normal and it's a little bit...
But soccer is the worst sport you can watch when it comes to Serbia. It's the most popular and the poorest
sport organized.
A lot of money.
I love soccer, football, yeah. and so I really wanted to introduce the kids to soccer when we were here, mm-hmm. but I couldn't. Because, even at some level, it wasn't safe.
Yeah,
to bring to kids to the games and
yeah,
things.
At one point, you're
how do you introduce a generation of kids to the game?
It's terrible. Yeah, basketball, volleyball, water polo. Those are the group sports that you should follow when it comes to Serbia. Other than that, soccer is the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really follow the others. Mm-hmm. I like soccer. I played soccer in the US, and I understand
how it is, and it's very entertaining for me, so I follow it with all my other friends, too, so...
Yeah.
But yeah,
Croatia, I just follow Croatia, because they're good, and they play normally.
And of course, when you work... I mean, America's not very good at soccer, so they're not very...
The US team is very good for
it
women's.
It is?
Women's US team is world champions.
Yeah.
Women's... Mm-hmm. World Cup is usually won by the U.S.
Yeah. And they won gold in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And,
Okay.
Very good.
Yeah. I didn't know that, for instance.
But the other thing is U.S. soccer is very boring, whereas Latin American soccer is really entertaining.
Yeah.
So there's...
Yeah. But so, that's also very aggressive. You, Latin American soccer is very aggressive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, when I played recreational soccer, one of my teams, I forget which one, when we would scrimmage against each other, we had this thing that we would yell before making contact with each other. Which we'd yell, soccer is a contact sport, before we ran into each other. it was a good time. I think, I don't know if as you get higher in the professional, people get more strict about that, but...
Yeah.
Do you mind if I interject and ask a question myself?
Please, go ahead.
So this is at a more abstract level in terms of identity and multilingualism. Do you think of... So as you think about yourself and in the context of next generations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is, without regard to the languages themselves per se, but the idea of multilingualism as something that comes organically from birth, not something that you choose later on in life, like Mama did, mm-hmm. but something that you are just, it's a part of the home environment. Is that itself something that you think would be important, valuable, useful, worth pursuing, even if you had to work at it, like if it didn't come naturally, if you had to put real energy into making it happen? Or it was kind of like, okay, but not.
I mean, I definitely, in the U.S., I have a lot of friends who, their families speak Spanish, and their parents taught them only English, and they hate that. They're trying to learn Spanish, but it's also, they're an adult now with a job or doing a PhD, and they just can't practice, and it's harder to, I think, learn as an adult and practice continuously. That being said, I also learned Spanish and really enjoy Spanish, and it sort of clicked with me. But partially, I think, why I clicked is because of the surfing. Even now with my Spanish, I did 7 years of it in school, but then as soon as I got to college, there wasn't a continuing college Spanish class, so I just stopped taking Spanish. And now I understand it fully and I cannot respond. And I can pronounce everything, I can read, I can write, I can't respond.
Así que te volvería muy pronto si tuvieras un poco de tiempo en español. Yo soy profesora de español. To je zapravo nekakva ideja, da li vaša generacija doživljava multilingvizam, plurilingvizam, bilingvizam kao nešto što je potrebno u životu?
Yes.
Maybe.
It's useful.
No.
I don't know that it's required.
Why? Well, because especially on the internet, basically English is the universal language. Unless you specifically choose to be unless you actively seek out speakers, whether it's speaking in a completely different language, most spaces are going to be English.
I have to say Europe is a bit different.
Yeah.
Because I've learned over the years that actually it is very useful to speak other languages. For instance, I'm very sorry I don't speak German, because I worked a lot with the University of Graz in Austria, and I really missed being, even though everybody in the academic environment speaks English and all our projects have always been in English, but it's actually something that you need, because like you said, in Texas you drive for 12 hours and you have 12 different dialects of English, but if you drive 12 hours in Europe, you'll probably have 5 different languages.
Jezike ne treba učiti, njih treba znati.
Da.
Treba samo da uzmeš knjigu i da uzmeš kaže, postoji kao tamo neki naučnik koji je tek na sedmoj, ne znam, poglavlju shvatio koja je reč znači žena. Treba samo da uzmeš i da radiš na tom jeziku i naučiš.
And just one last question, especially for the two of you. Would you be interested in reading more literature from Serbia translated into English, or maybe bilingual editions? Would that be something that might be of interest to you guys? Contemporary literature, not something very classical like Ivo Andrić, which you, I mean, these are already translated, but something that's new and hip here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah?
Sure. I find, though, that I read a lot of sci-fi, and I could not find for the life of me Serbian sci-fi.
You're kidding! Yeah. There is Zoran Živković. He's been extensively translated into English. You should look him up.
Yeah,
he's very famous.
I don't know. I also read a lot of sort of feminism,
warrior
women books. I haven't found that in Serbian literature. It's mostly pretty sexist.
Online. She's looking online. That's the reason.
Yeah.
All I'm looking at is the books I read in elementary school here. They're pretty darn sexist.
Oh, yeah.
They were really sexist.
No, that's not the literature.
Ne, 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 ne
she's absolutely right. There is this huge academic debate going on in Serbia about what the literary canon, you know the word canon in English? Yeah, what the literary canon is, because the literature that our children are made read in elementary and secondary schools is absolutely full of stereotypes and misogynist cultural models. So that's, you're completely right there.
And it may have an ancillary effect that is not a part of the debate already, which is that it burns diaspora kids on literature. And if that's what they learn at the early part of their life, they don't have the interest in carrying on because they're not aware of the breadth of the literature that's available.
That is another issue with different... There have been attempts to create online platforms for Serbian as a heritage language for diaspora kids, second, third, fourth generation, and they are terrible because they're so stereotypical with just the kolo and the folklore and the traditional folk songs. It's not something you can attract the young kid. No, nobody is.
A jesu ljudi.
Well,
sam neki ljudi jesu.
Ali
eto tamo je drugarica Bojana, ona tu.
Pa dobro, ali evo ja imam kumove koji vole narodnu muziku i sve u Chicago, ali njihova deca Ne, oni su bežali sa tog folklora i sa taj Sunday school, bacali su u džubre domaće zadatke, ali zato su oni dolazili ovde preko leta, ovde imaju braću i sestre koji su cousins, koji su sličnog uzrasta i izvrsno govore srpski, ali samo zbog toga, ne zbog Sunday school ili zbog taj, to im je bilo smorno najstrašnije, tako da je to problem. To je jedan od, that would be one of the added values of our project if we could actually motivate some people to design a platform which would be interactive and modern for people, especially young people from diaspora, but not only from diaspora, who would be interested in studying Serbian, and also to do something with modern Serbian literature, which is actually very diverse and very hip and very politically often engaged, which would be interesting to some of you. And like, for instance, what I've learned now in Vienna, we did the same type of research with the diaspora in Vienna, is that there is a large number of young writers who were born, most of them in Bosnia, but migrated before or during the wars of the 90s, who write in German,
yes,
and are translated into Serbian and Bosnian, and they are extremely interesting to read.
Yes.
So I think vice versa would be also, those are people born in the 70s and 80s.
Yes, ima jedna devojka koja je dobila neku nagradu, bilo pre nekoliko godina.
Ja se sam ih nekoliko sa Darija, ne Darija, nego Maša Dini, ne Maša, kako se baš zove. Ona je profesor na univerzitetu, ima neki Saša Stanišić iz Hamburga.
To za njega sam čula.
On je baš ono, well published and ne znam koliko nagrada dobio. Onda neki mali Marko Dinić, 88. godište, koji je isto dobio silne neke nagrade. Tako da ima nekih momaka koji pišu pesme, objavljuju.
Ali svi pišu na nemačkom.
Svi pišu na nemačkom, interesantno, ali se one prevodi.
Oni imaju veliku tradiciju, ti Bosanci imaju veliku tradiciju studiranja u Austriji.
Ali ne samo to, ne, ovo su sve deca koje su otišla ili zbog rata ili su im... Samo je ta jedna devojka Darija koja je teatrološkinja, rođena u Stuttgartu, mame i tata su otišli 70. godine kao klasična dijaspora. Ovi drugi su svi pobegli od rata u nekom trenutku i nije im prvi jezik nemački, ali pišu na nemačkom.
Da.
Ali se prevode na naše jezike. A ovo sada odavde, ja mislim da stvarno ima deo književnih koje treba prevesti na engleski.
Similar examples in Prague? Not so much.